Blog Talk Radio.
Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back to thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh, wake up, all the teachers, time to teach a new way. Maybe then they'll listen to what you have to say. They're the ones who's coming up, and the world is in their hands. When you teach the children, teach them the very best you can. If we just let it be, na 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 na, the world won't get no better. We gotta change it, girl, just you and me. Wake up all the doctors, make the old people well. They're the ones who suffer and who catch all the hair. But they don't have so very long before their judgment day. So won't you make them happy before they pass away? Wake up all the builders, time to build a new land. I know we could do it if we all lend a hand. The only thing we have to do is put it in our minds. Surely things will work out, they do it every time. The world won't get no better if we just let it be. The world won't get no better. We gotta change it, just you and me.
Good afternoon, good evening, assalamu alaikum. You're listening to Mother's Milk, and I'm your hostess, Sister Samia Safir Muhammad. I pray everyone is having a good evening. We've got all kind of things going on across the country weather-wise, and I pray that wherever you are, you're not in the worst of it. Here we are. I know in down here in Georgia and in the South, all of the trees have already begun to bud, and that brings allergy season. So, of course, I'm going to try and give you a couple of hints to how to get around that. I found that there was a doctor who spoke during the time when they were talking about the avian flu years ago, which never materialized. But anyway, he was saying that if you make sure that you keep your nostrils clean by using a salt water solution that you can make yourself, some salt water, salt and warm water, and use Q-tips to swab out your nose, especially as soon as you come in the house from being outside, when you first wake up in the morning and before you go to bed. this way, whatever contaminants you've breathed in from the atmosphere won't get a chance to go down and settle in your chest and other bronchial that will cause you to really become more and more irritated from the pollen. So do that. Make sure you drink plenty of water. If you should get pollen or anything in your eyes, don't rub them because that makes it worse. You're just pushing it in further. So make sure that your children, that you do the same for your children when they get up in the morning, when they go outside, when they come back in, make sure that you clean their nostrils with the salt water. And what that will do is make the fluid to drip down the back of your throat and clear out everything that's sitting in your nasal passages and in your throat, so you didn't gargle that up, and you should be pretty good. Make sure you don't indulge in a lot of these over-the-counter allergy remedies, because they're finding most of this over-the-counter stuff is not really good for you, because they've got all kind of stuff that causes more side effects than whatever it was you actually had. So I know there's, if you know that there are certain plants and trees that trigger you to have more allergies, then try and stay away from them. We used to have a lilac tree in our yard and when I lived in New York, and I had no idea that it was making me sneeze. So I had to, unfortunately, remove that tree because it was just causing me sneeze all over the place. So take care of that with your children. Make sure they wash their hands, keep their hands clean, and then don't overdo it. I was just reading an article recently that talked about how we have become so germophobic that we're making matters worse, because there is, your body does not get a chance to build up any kind of defenses because you don't have any germs around for it to fight off. So when any little thing that does get to you, it just makes it 1,000 times worse. So always seek balance in whatever we're doing health-wise. You know, let's not go overboard. And we live in the atmosphere of the earth, you know, and there's supposed to be dust. There's supposed to be dirt. You know, the children, we've got our children so afraid to touch anything, you know. Oh, my God, don't touch that. Don't touch, you know. So they don't get a chance to build up immunities to the things that are naturally in the environment. So I wanted to talk about that first. The weather is very tricky. If you're sending your children to school in the morning, you know, dress them in layers. In our school, it's warm sometime, and it could be warm outside and cold inside the building, or cold inside the building and warm outside. So we need to make sure that your children are dressed in a way that they can be comfortable by having a lightweight sweater always with them, a lightweight jacket. And if it's warm enough when they go out at the end of the day, that's fine, but they may need to keep on some kind of covering inside because of the change of weather, because people start to cut off heat or whatever, and the child will catch a cold, and then, you know, you really don't want that. Now, the other thing I would like to talk to, there's two major things. One, if your child is sick, you know your child's running a fever, you know your child has an upset stomach, don't send that child to school. And we say, well, I have to work. Yes, but it's not worth you getting 30 other children sick because you got to go to work and your child comes in sneezing or coughing, not only just sneezing and coughing, but with an upset stomach, and they tend to regurgitate at some point during the school, and all of that stuff gets in the air and everybody gets sick. So, you know, let us be more mindful that it's not just about us and our children. Our children will affect everybody else. So let's you know, not do that. Second thing, well, while we're talking about these kind of things, okay, now our dear government is trying to cause everyone to panic over the fact that some people have measles. Okay, so the headline was 51 people contract measles in California. We've got an epidemic. Wait a minute, hold it now. We got to think logically when they start saying stuff like this. How many millions of people live in the state of California? So that's not an epidemic. There's a few cases of measles. Now, I grew up, there was no MMR when we grew up as young children, everybody caught the measles. I don't remember anybody dying of the measles. Okay, I don't remember anybody dying of chickenpox, and I don't remember anybody dying of the mumps. These were diseases that every child got, and every child got over. We used to, if one child in the family got chickenpox, you wanted everybody to get it at the same time, so you wouldn't have to go through it again because they weren't going to get it a second time. So all of this panic is, and you have to ask, what's the ulterior motive? What are they really trying to do? They're trying to get it so that you have to have your children take not only that vaccine but all the rest of them. So let's be wise. These are your children. They still belong to you. You gave birth to them. And, you know, don't because of fear of having them take something back that you think that they're presently giving you, okay, make bad decisions about your children's health. All right, so now this whole push is, oh, everybody's got to get vaccinated. They did the same thing with this avian flu. They created this vaccine before the flu ever got to America, and it never materialized. But hundreds of thousands of people were getting this vaccine. For what? Okay, we have to be wise. We have to be thinking at all times. I remember similarly when David Dinkins was the mayor of New York, and they were pushing to get Giuliani in, and what they decided to do in the Long Island newspaper, Newsday, they were tracking how many murders were committed in New York City. And so it's May, and I'm at a conference with some other teachers, and they're talking about, oh, my God, there's a crime wave, because in the Newsday, here it is May, they were tracking from January to May, there were like maybe 500 people had been murdered in New York City. Okay, we feel bad for whomever got murdered and their families. However, 500 people out of 9 million is not a crime wave. Okay, when I pointed out to another teacher, she said, I never thought of it that way. We have to be thinking, people. We cannot just go along with whatever is being said and buy it lock, stock, and barrel. We got to use some logic. We have to use some intelligence and go, wait, what are you doing? What are you trying to do? What is the ulterior motive here? Okay, so please be mindful of that. The other thing is there are too many children coming up missing. Parents, please hold on to your children while you are in the public, okay? I was going to Chicago, and we're coming. We had just gone through check, and in Atlanta, you've got to go down an escalator to get to a train to take you to your gate. This man has two children with him. One may have been 12. The other one was clearly somewhere between 4 and 6. The 12-year-old was closer to him, keeping up with him. The 6-year-old was at least 3-4 feet behind him. And I'm watching this guy, not looking around. He's not even paying attention where this child is. And they went down the escalator. We got off the escalator. He went over to the train, and I walked over to him. I said, sir, please, too many children are being snatched. Would you please make sure that that child is holding on to you somewhere? Make him hold on to your pocket. Make it hold onto your jacket, but that child has to be held on to, because you would hate to turn around and your child is gone. So I'm saying to all of us parents, we have got to pay better attention to our children when we're walking in the streets. Put the damn cell phones away. It's nothing that if it's not an emergency, you don't need to be talking on a cell phone while your child is walking with you. You need to be paying attention to where your child is. Okay? Put the phone away. Stop looking at your phone instead of talking to your children. If your children are with you, you should be talking to them. And, you know, don't be in such a rush that you forget you got a child with you, okay? I had 9 children at some point in time, any given point in time. I had 5 children with me. I had 2 holding on to my pockets on each side, the older ones holding on to them, and I'm carrying a baby, okay? But you have to keep up with your children. Nobody else can do that for you. You know, and all of this stuff with children getting off of buses and disappearing or walking down. We're not living in that time anymore where you can let your children walk home from school by themselves, because there's too many of them disappearing. And then they're finding them dead. Then they're finding them with their organs missing. Okay? So please, parents, please, I'm begging you, pay more attention to your children. okay? Because you can't replace them. You know, you can't replace them. And the grief and the pain that you're going to go through because they're not there, come on, pay attention, please. The phones, you know, these cell phones have become that. They have put us in jail. We cannot put them down. We're addicted to them just like we're addicted to everything else. You have to make a concerted effort, turn the phone off, put it away, and deal with your children while you're while they're with you, and make sure you know where they're going, what time they're supposed to be back. Give them firm rules of what you need done. I need you to call me if anything happens. I need you to be in this house right at, it takes you X amount of time to get home. If there's any problem, I need you to let me know, okay? We have got to get more serious about our children, and we have to know our neighbors. We have to be able to know that the neighbor will look out and say, hey, your child, I saw your child over on such and such a street. Do you know that's where they are? You know, we used to do that back in the day. I used to hate it. We all hated it. But our neighbors were like, does Miss Jackson know you over here? Yes. You know, you're like, oh, shoot. So you better hustle on home, you know. Then I get home and miss the lady that was talking to me is sitting at the table having tea with my aunt. I'm like, oh, God, you know. So but we need that kind of care and attention to each other in our communities once again. We've lost it, and it's causing us great distress and detriment. So let's be more mindful of where our children are at all times, and keep up with them. Keep up with them. This is not the world that we used to live in, because people are not, they're not concerned about us. They're really not. If you like to call and chat with me, I'd like to give you my number. It's 563-999-3089, and you can call in and press 1, and you'll be put in the queue. 563-999-3089. So I just wanted to talk to us about that, because it's very important. And we have to become more we have to become more swabby or more smart about what we allow to influence our behavior. Okay? There are things that are going on in this world that are so insane, and you will look back on them maybe 10 years from now, maybe 20 years from now, if you get to live that long, and go, what the heck were we thinking about? You know, because there are this world of commercials and the YouTube, all these things are negatively influencing us to act other than ourselves. We are not being ourselves. We are not, you know, we are not in tune and showing any gratitude to our ancestors for the fact that they survived long enough for us to be here. And we're doing some stuff that just makes no sense at all. So we really need to do a check, do a self-check. You know, ask yourself, would my great-grandmother be proud of who I am today? Will my great-great-grandmother or grandfather, can they stand with pride and look at us today? Or would they be holding their head in shame at what we've become? Now, I'm saying that because if you're here in America and you are so-called African-American, you are a survivor of one of those people who survived. So we cannot act as though we're here by happenstance. They struggled to stay alive so you could be here. We owe them. We owe them to be the best that we can be, to show the world that we deserve to be here. You know, ask yourself, look in the mirror, look deep in your eyes, and see grandma, great-grandma, grandpa in yourself, and ask, am I making them proud today by my actions, by my inactions, by my cowardice, whatever it is? Ask yourself these questions, because we do not have the right to just throw away their legacies. Okay? I found out recently that my father was born in 1910. So that means he was born 65 years outside of slavery. And I'm like, wait a minute. So that means his grandmother, my great-grandmother, more than likely was a slave? That's how close it is, people. Don't let people tell you that was long ago. No, it wasn't that long ago. Okay? It wasn't that long ago. Okay? So we need to think about these things. We need to really reflect on our behavior. And we've gotten so hung up in the material world that we're forgetting our spiritual world and our spiritual connection to each other. We gotta fix that. We gotta go back and fix that. Because we are falling victim and being vamped upon because we're not together. We're not being community-minded at all. You know, we can't follow other people's ways. We got to go back to our own ways. And we fought hard and long to maintain our ways. So we have to come back to center because we're way off balance. We're way off balance. Stop, parents, stop trying to be your children's friends. They're not your friends. They're not your peers. You know, all of this, oh, they can, you know, they're going to express themselves. No, come on now. There's a difference between a child expressing themselves and a child being downright rude and disrespectful. And you need to know the difference. Because some of the ways I hear these children talking to their parents, I'm looking at the parent, what's wrong with you? You are the mother, you know that, right? Why are you letting your child talk to you like that? Because, oh, well, you know, I was told. No, stop all of that. The people who are giving you all this ill advice about how to raise your children, they've never raised children. Trust me on that one. They've never raised children. You know, and they're telling you, oh, well, you know, she's just trying to express herself. No. No. You know, she believes. No. Your six-year-old does not know what they want to do with their life, you know. So we have to be careful because we have to look at what is the ultimate agenda when people are pushing all these ideas that we know are not God-centered. And yes, we believed in God. That's why we're still here. Don't get that twisted, okay? That's why we're still here, because of the faith that we had, all right? So we cannot let other people come and tell us, oh, well, no, you don't need to believe in God. No, you don't need to believe what his rules are there. No. Stop. Let's stop all that foolishness, okay? We need to get back to center, be God-centered once again, because we're not. And you say, oh, you're preaching. You damn right I am. That's right, because somebody needs to talk to us, and I'm here to talk to you. That's what mother's milk is all about, okay? Because mother's milk is what nourishes you, your brain, especially your brain, your body. It is tailor-made for you only, okay? That milk that your mother gives you was just for you. Whatever was deficient in your body, it was there to correct that. All right? So, yes, this show is called Mother's Milk. You know, and I was looking at a show recently about the Ottoman Empire and how it came into being and all of the trials and tribulations they went through to establish a society that lasted for over 500 years. Okay? And one of the things... one of the main characters said one day to somebody who was acting other than himself, he said, you are disgracing your mother's milk. I thought that was heavy. I'm like, wow, really? That's what he said to him? Okay, so I'm telling you, as the name of this show is Mother's Milk, yes, I'm trying my best to help us, to help each other, to come back to a sense of community. We are not a hood, okay? A hood is something you hide under. A hood is something you cover up with. No, we are neighbors. We have a neighborhood. You don't have a hood, okay? We have a neighborhood, and that means that we have to get to know each other. We have to speak to each other. We got to look out for each other like we used to do. When we didn't have anything, we looked out for each other. You know, even in slavery, there were sisters that worked in the kitchen that would hide some little something in her apron pocket to bring down to somebody who needed something to eat. We got to look out for each other. We got to be careful. Speaking of eating, we have to be careful of the foods that we're consuming. There is too much poison in the foods. They're being genetically modified, and they're causing us illnesses that we never had before. So we have to be careful. Try and buy the best food that you can. Sisters, we got to cook. We got to make the food ourselves so we know what ingredients are in it, that our hands are clean, that our utensils are clean. We're eating out of other people's kitchens. We don't know what those kitchens look like, and we don't know what's being put in our food. We got to be careful. Don't always go for the inexpensive, and don't always go for the most expensive. Have some balance. You know, don't just go and buy cheap vegetables, because some of that stuff is not what it looks like. It's dyed. It's got food coloring in it, and it's not fresh fruit. So the best food you can, fresh food. Don't send your children to school on hopped up on sugar, you know, the Pop-Tarts and all this so-called quick stuff, the sugar stuff. No, all of that stuff ill affects how your child performs in school. I see it every day. I see a child that's sitting in a chair. Excuse me, what did you have for breakfast? Oh, I had some Captain. No, you didn't eat Captain Crunch. No, that's nothing but sugar. Why would you? Then I have to go talk to the parent. Why would you get this in the morning and expect him to be able to sit still? BHA, BHT, all that food coloring and the sugar send your child out like a rocket into space, and they can't sit still. And so they're in trouble with the class because they can't keep still. Okay? All these little sugary drinks, the sodas, the juices, all of that, number one, is putting too much weight on your children. Don't give your children juice every time they want something to drink. Make them drink water. Make them drink water. Trust me, it's better for their bodies. And I'm not talking what I don't know. I'm talking what I know. Okay? I had 9 children. All my children had 0 body fat. Okay? They were healthy. They were strong. And they were not fat. Nobody is obese. Because when they wanted something to drink, I made them drink water. They were able to have juice with their dinner or their lunch or their breakfast. Okay? But you didn't just drink juices all day long. Juice is a food. Okay? It's the liquid from a fruit, and it is not, it's the same as eating food. So we have to be careful of how we allow our children to eat and how much we allow them to eat, because we have raised an obese generation. Way too fat. They can't even run down the street. You know, they're out of breath. They got asthma. They got this. They got that. They got childhood diabetes. We are their doctors, their first nurses, their first doctors, mothers. That's what you are. So we need to take better care of our children and make sure that we are doing our best to bring them up in the best possible way. Okay, so we gotta deal with these diets and what we're feeding them and what the ingredients are. It's easier to make just simple dishes. You don't have to have a gourmet meal every day just because you see all that mess on television. You know, a soup, a salad, and a main course. That's good for your child. You know. Make some food that, you know, we've got too many children that are eating out of bags in the back of a car. Or I remember witnessing when I was living in the Bronx, there were mothers who didn't want to pay for child care, so they would send their children to the library. The children would sit in the library from the time they got out of school till mother got off from work. But in the interim, they had enough money to go to McDonald's or wherever and eat every day. That's not good. That's not good. That's not healthy. So let us, you know, there are ways to, you can go online and look for the really quick foods that you can pre-prepare and just pull them out of your refrigerator or your freezer. You can cook for the whole week and really have healthy food for you and your family when you get home. I know you're tired when you come home. You don't feel like cooking, but if you've already prepared something on Saturday and Sunday, you know, then you should be able to have enough food to pull out and feed your children. You know, we have to do better. We have to do better with our children, because I see it every day how our children are being neglected. We're neglecting them. You know, half of you have no idea what your children are doing in school. You haven't looked at their report card, their work. You're not going over it with them. You're not making sure that they do the best they can. And then you want to come and fuss with the teacher because you think it's the teacher's fault. No, what are you doing to make sure that your children have an area to do their homework? What are you doing to make sure that they stay organized? You know, your child should know how at 10, 9, 10, 11 to prepare the night before what they're going to wear and get up, take their shower, wash up, whatever they're going to do, and be ready to go to school without a whole bunch of hassle. Every month, I don't know where my shoes are. I can't find this. I can't, you know, you are the one who needs to organize a place for them to have all that. These are where your shoes go. When you come in, put your shoes up here. Put your coat up here. Hang up your coat. You know, I made sure I showed my children how, when they came in, they needed to put their gloves in their pockets. Unless the gloves had snow or something on them, then you need to put them somewhere and get them dry, but make sure they get in your pocket when you get ready to leave out of here in the morning. You know, their scarves went around the necks of the coat. Their gloves went in each pocket. There was a place for them to put their shoes. There was a place for them to put their book bags when they finished their homework, so we weren't running around like chickens with our head cut off when they had to leave out the house in the morning. You know, you have to take a few minutes to put into place systems of organization so you don't go crazy. You know, I've got students that come to school every day. I don't know where my pencil is. I'm late because we couldn't find my shoes. Well, what did you do with your shoes when you took them off? Where's your belt? I don't know. What do you mean you don't know? Find a place in your room for your belt every day. And every day you go back, your belt should be there. You know, these are the things that we as mothers and fathers have to instill in our children. They can't be all over the place. And half the time they're all over the place because we're allowing them to look at all this craziness on television. And in there, you know, you don't even see your children most of the time nowadays because they go in their room, you go in your room, and that's it. You're on a laptop. This one's on the cell phone. That one's on the computer. That one's watching television, and there's no interaction with the family. So nobody knows what anybody else is doing. So what you should do is if you gave your child a phone so that their child can contact you in an emergency, guess what? When you come in, he comes in the house, there's no emergency the child has to call you with in the house, so get the phone, put it away until it's time to go back out of the house. Because what has happened is we're not even we don't even know how to talk to each other anymore. When you just as a exercise, listen to a conversation that's going on with a group of young people nowadays. Everybody's talking at the same time. Nobody's listening to anybody. Then they all end up saying the same thing the other one just said. Why? Because you didn't hear what the first other one just said. And I have to tell my students all the time, do you not hear this person talking? Then why are you talking? Huh? Right. You're supposed to be listening because that person's talking to you. Or that person's talking to the class. Why are you talking while that one is talking? Because everybody's impatient. Nobody wants to take the time to listen to the other person. And then it's how we end up in disagreements, because we're really saying the same thing, but we haven't taken the time to go ahead and listen to each other. We need to listen to each other, and we need to be able to connect with each other, to feel each other. When someone comes in your atmosphere, you should be able to feel, hey, this person's not being their normal self today. Are you okay? Do you need to talk to somebody? And they may tell you no. Or you may not be the person they need to talk to. I remember that happened with a sister. I said, what's wrong with you? Are you okay? You don't look good. I said, you look like you need to talk to somebody. I said, I tell you what, you don't need to talk to me, but you need to talk to somebody before you leave this building because you're not yourself. Okay? And it turned out later on she came and talked to me, and we had a long discussion, and by Allah's grace it helped her to deal with a problem she was having. So we have to be family again. We need to be able to talk to and talk with each other and know, hey, my coworker's not feeling so good today. What's going on with you? Because there's too many people committing suicide. There's too many people, you know, just wigging out on drugs because they can't cope with what they see is going on around them. So we need to really be each other's keepers. Your husbands, sisters, if you are married, if you are married to a black man in America, you need to help take care of him. And I know some of you all know that he better take care. Yeah, he will take care of you if you take care of him. He is the least cared for person in America because he is public enemy number one. You know, and we say all kind of hurtful things about our brothers, and we don't realize we can't walk in their shoes. We wouldn't survive. We would not survive walking in their shoes. This man, when he walks out the door, never knows if he's going to make it back in. If, when some fool white man or cop or something decides he wants to blow his brains out. And we give them stress all the time. So we need to think about these things. What would happen if the roles were reversed? You know, always think about that. What would happen if the roles were reversed and it was me out there being a black man? It's not easy. Just read. We need to read more. Read the history. Look at what's going on. It's been going on. It hasn't stopped. It hasn't stopped. So we need to be the ones who take care of this black man. It's not hard. You know, when he comes in the door, sisters, please don't start telling him all the crazy stuff the children did and how he's frustrated and how angry and upset. Give the man a chance. Sometimes he'll want to come and sit and talk to you right away. There's other times when he got to go in a room somewhere and close the door and let him, give him that space. I know my husband used to come home some days. I'm like, he's like, shh. I say, how you doing? And go upstairs and close the door. And I don't go running up there to find out what the problem is. I'm like, okay, he'll come back down. Oh, he'll call me. You know, sometimes they have to let off all that steam because you don't know what frustrated them during the day. And we come right in, we're fussing at him, telling him what to do. No, come on now. Give the man some space to find out, to figure out what's happening with him. Sometimes he's just got to let all of that work stuff just melt away. And then he can come and talk with the family. You know, no man that's working hard should come home to a filthy house, a messy house, where he got to move stuff in order to sit down in a chair. Or he got to wash the dishes in order to get a meal. Come on now. We have to do better. We have to do better. We have to do better. You know, I heard, I was looking at one of Tyler Perry's movie, and he had one of the characters, female characters, say, "You gotta put me back into the 50s. Okay, hold on now. And she was talking about just because her job was more important than her. Okay, so the question was then, why did you get married? That's a partnership, and it needs to be worked on. We've totally lost the concept of what it is like to be married, to help each other, really. Okay? We need to think about some of these things that we're doing that are not coming from us. They're seeds that were planted to help destroy us as family. So let's think about these things as we go about our daily life. You know, look at, okay, why am I really doing this? Because I want to do this? Or was this something that somebody planted in my head as I'm watching all these crazy TV shows and videos and all of this? And okay, and I will say to us as adults, you know, that we got to turn some of this stuff off, because you can be in a very good mood. You pick up your phone and you start scrolling through whatever, Instagram, Facebook, whatever it is you're scrolling through, and the next thing you know, you're down in the dumps. Why? Because you've seen so much stuff that does not need to be in your head right now. And now you're worried about all of this stuff. You know, some of us get into these video games that are not even real. Now we're worried about the person that's in the video game. Come on, people. You know, we get hung up in this soap opera. Stop. That's none of that's real. The reality is what is going on with you right now and the people that you interact with every day. Those are the people you need to be worried about, not all these people that are on whatever Housewives or whatever the stuff you're looking at that's full of scripted bad behavior, and they're promoting it to us as though it's reality. It's not reality. It's all scripted, okay? So let's watch and check our behavior. Is this, you know, and again, ask yourself, is this what my grandmother would have wanted me to be doing right now? Is this what my great-grandmother or grandfather sacrificed for? You know, we need to look at, we need to go back just into the 60s. We ain't got to go back too far and see what it was like for some of our people living in Georgia, Alabama, Mississippi, even up north in the tenements of Harlem, rat-infested apartments that they were being charged way too much money for. You know, what, you know, if we've risen above that, then don't we owe something to their memories? Don't we owe them a debt of gratitude and say, okay, I'm going to do better. I'm going to bring pride to us as a people, you know? Because we were not as crazy as we are today. We have kind of lost it, people. We need to bring back civilization among ourselves. Speak to each other, you know. Stop being so angry about everything. Everything is getting on your last nerve. Why? And I'll ask you very honestly, when's the last time you prayed to the God? You're like, oh, here we go. Look, that's what got us over. You know, they used to sing a song, How I Got Over. I don't know how I got over, okay? But thank God we got over. We're still here. When you think about a people that was forbidden by law to even be able to read for almost 400 years, it was illegal for you to pick up a book, much less a book. Pick, just write a letter in the dirt could cost you your life. Now you have the opportunity to just read everything, be a, you know, gain all the knowledge you want. And what do? We waste time at a computer playing games. I think we need to get it together. I think we need to look at who we are and get it together. We can do it. We've done it before. We've overcome. And what we have overcome has made our enemies so frightened. Because when you take a people and you have done everything you possibly could to make these people into furniture, to regard them as the same thing as a chair, a dog, a cow, a chicken, that was the regard they had for us. And we, when you look at the ledgers, they sold us on the same ledger that they sold a piece of furniture. Okay, so they didn't care that we were humans. They tried to make us into inhumane people, but by Allah's grace, by God's grace, we are still here. Not only are we still here, we still continue to excel, and as our sister Maya Angelou said, and still I rise. Okay, so we have got to make up our minds today. We're going to change and do better. And you may say, well, you know what? You sound too preachy. Well, yep, that's about right. That's what mothers do. And I'm telling you, I've raised 9 children. I've had and raised 9 children. Okay? And of those 9 children, every one of them has come back at some point in time and said, Mommy, I thank you for the way you and Daddy raised us. Okay? I thank you. And no, they didn't like all the restrictions and whatever was put on them growing up, but they understood that helped them to be the people they are today. And as teachers, if you are a teacher, you are obligated to do the same thing. Yes, and I know they get on your nerves because somehow somebody told these children Number one, they know everything. Number two, they're not to ask questions when they don't know, because everybody's going to laugh at them. So they're going to sit there and pretend they know, even when you are looking at them and you know clearly this child has no idea what's going on, you know. So you got to still reach out to that child. And the parents are oblivious most times to what is happening with their children. They're too busy to sit down and go over homework. They're too busy to even listen to the child when the child's telling them what they're learning in school. Because why? They're on the phone. They're scrolling, they're talking, they're doing whatever, but they're not focused on that child. Parents, focus on your child. Children, listen. You don't know everything, and you need adults to help guide you. All right? And you who think y'all grown, y'all need older adults to help guide you. You know, why not listen to the person who knows, hey, if you keep going down this street, you're going to have to move over to the left because there's a big old pothole that's going to mess up your frame of your car if you fall into that ditch. And you, because you don't want to listen, because you think you know everything, because now what does that old fogey know? You're going to mess up your daggone car because you didn't want to listen. Okay, we need to have enough respect to listen to each other. I know I can learn from little students that come and ask me questions. Okay, we went to a museum, and this little girl who's 7 years old was looking at these so-called dinosaur bones, and she's looking at this thing, and she's going back and forth, and she's swaying from side to side, and she's staring at this thing. And I didn't say that. I'm just standing there looking at her like, okay, well, what's going on in her mind? You know, I didn't want to interrupt the flow. So she turns to me and she goes, Sister Mia, she said, how big a heart would that thing have to have had in order to sustain that body? I looked at her and I said, I don't know, but we can do some research on it. Okay, I wasn't going to sit there and pretend I knew, but that was an awesome question. I would have never thought of that, but this little child did, you know. So, but we have to give our children the opportunity to be able to think without so much distraction, so much noise around them, so they can come up with those kind of questions. But when you constantly got noise, we don't get to pull from the universe, okay? So we need parents, teach your children they need to sit still. Start with 5 minutes, then increase it to 10. Then see if they can sit still for 15 minutes. Just sit and be quiet. And half of them is like, oh, no, be quiet. Sit down for a few minutes. I need you to just be quiet and think. Think about your day. Think about what you want to do tomorrow. Think about your future. Just sit down and think. Teach your children to meditate. Teach your children to pray. Because guess what? They'll be better for it. And they'll thank you for it. Not today, not while they're in their late teens, but let them get into their 20s, and they'll come back and say, Mommy, Daddy, thank you. Goodness. Because they'll see that they are not like everybody else. Not better than everybody else, but they're not like everybody else. They can see and hear. They can pull from the universe. They say when people die, whatever was in their brains comes back out into the universe. But you can't capture it if you're constantly running your mouth. You can't pull on it if you're constantly pushing ideas away because you won't be quiet. You won't be quiet. You constantly got noise. Some of you go to sleep with noise. You wake up with noise. I can't. It boggles my mind when a car pulls up to us. It's 6:30 in the morning. Somebody's got music blasting, and everything is MFing this and effing that and vidi nigga this. And I'm looking like, what kind of life you living? How is that okay in your mind that this is what you're listening to at 6 o'clock in the morning? Well, when do you get quiet and be able to think about your life? You're on your way somewhere. What is all of this madness? You know. And then the other side of it is everything's a joke. Everything is funny. Some things are just not funny, and they should not be looked upon with wry humor. We need to be more conscious and more aware of the fact that we're hurting people's feelings, you know. And if you should hurt somebody's feelings and they hurt your feelings, then seek atonement. Admit, you know what, I'm sorry, I was a little bit off yesterday. I didn't mean to yell at you like that. Hey, it's not taking anything from you to apologize. And even if the person is too angry at that point in time to accept it, offer it anyway. Because they'll go home and they'll think about it. You know what, you were right. Thank you. I accept your apology now. You know, because sometimes people are just too angry. They just too daggone mad. They don't want to hear nothing you got to say. Just walk away. All they want you to do is go away. Well, go away from me. Then you come back later on. You know, write them a note. It's always easier to write down a note to somebody and express how you really feel. Why? Because the person's not seeing the way you tilted your head, twinked your eye, all those little things that are going to make them angry all over again. So just write them a letter. Write them a little note. You know, this is what happened. I apologize, and I pray that you accept my apology. Bam. Okay? And then you end up with a better relationship. Male, female, mother, father, uncles, aunts, children, to parent. You know, we need to learn to talk in a civilized tone to each other. And sometimes when you're very, very angry, that's not the time. And don't ever spank your children when you're angry with them. You know, go send them to their room and calm yourself down, and then go give them a spanking, not a beat down. There's a difference, okay? There's a difference. I make my children put your hand on the bed and get the belt and get to that backside. I say, don't twist and turn, because I don't want to tear up your legs. I don't want to hurt your arms. I want that butt. That's got cushioning, okay? You know? So and don't let anybody say, oh, you should not spank your children. That's uncivilized. Okay, fine. You show me a better way. Okay, because all these people that did all of this time out and all of that, their children are wild and crazy. Okay? It doesn't work. Because who suggested it to you? Somebody never had any children. Okay? You should raise children and blah, blah, but she didn't have any. Okay, once she got some, oh, her whole attitude changed. I would chuckle every time I hear her talk. I'm like, mm-hmm, now you know. See? You thought other people were crazy. Now you know. Children make you crazy. Yep, they do. Okay? Yep, and you will be yelling at them. Oh, you don't raise your voice. Okay, we'll see. So now when the sister had the children, oh, her whole tune changed. She understood that, oh, wait a minute, they a little bit trying here. It's a little hard. Yeah, it is. It is, but it's well worth it. Being a mother is the greatest thing you can do on the planet. Just being a mother. Why? Because you, first of all, get to be a co-creator with God in bringing that child onto the planet. And then once that child gets here, you are their first teacher, their first doctor, their first nurse. You are the one who gets to shape and mold the next generation of doctors and lawyers and whatever, whatever, whatever. You get to do that. And so that gives you a greater responsibility. And it sometimes feels like a burden, but guess what? It's a good burden. When you do your job well, there are great rewards. So let's go about the business of being good mothers, because you get to bring in everything that the world needs. It comes through that sacred place called your womb. And you get to be a co-creator with God. That's an honorable position to be in. And we need to take it more seriously. While you're pregnant, take care of your body. Rest. Watch what you look at. Watch what you listen to. Try not to be around negative people, because all of that's going to ill affect your baby. You want to be around positive people. You want to eat positive, the best foods that you can. You want to be in the best of health. You want to take care of yourself. And then you want to be there for your baby spiritually. Talk to it. Sing to it. Anyway, I pray that I've said something that will help you. I pray that I didn't offend anybody. And if I did, well, may Allah forgive us. Okay? But have a good week. You've been listening to Mother's Milk. My name is Samia Muhammad, and God willing, I will see you again talk to you again next week, and we'll do some outreach, and hopefully you can call me, and I'll call you. All right. And so that's it for me. You've been listening to Mother's Milk, and like I said, I pray you had a wonderful week. Take care of your babies. Hold on to them. Love them and love each other. Assalamu alaikum.